Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Where's the timer? Where's the timer? Who's in charge of timing? Please, can we move forward? If you have an empty seat in front of you, please just move forward. How about this screen? How's the day been? How has it been? I think it would be wrong for me to ask how was your day, because the day is still progressing, right? Amen. I appreciate God for this privilege to be here this evening. I thank the pastorate for the privilege to come this evening to say what I know and what I've been learning about the power of the kingdom. So if God permits, in the next 3 weeks, I'll be coming up. So, and I've thinking through all this, today we'll look at how to engage God's power intentionally. Then by God's grace, next week we'll look at the going the extra mile in order to activate the power of God. Going the extra mile, we'll be looking at the life of Stephen in that case. Then next week also we'll look at the power of conviction, X-raying the life of Paul. And my final week on this will be considering, Pastor gave an assignment that we should talk about the anointing. What is the place of the anointing in the power of the kingdom? Good evening, Mommy. Nice to have you here. So that's how it will be going for the next 3 weeks as God permits. So today, like I said already, I'll be considering engaging the power intentionally. Can you tell your neighbor that? Of course, you know, we are considering the power of the kingdom. So for today, under the power of the kingdom, we'll be looking at engaging the power intentionally. So the idea of intention conveys some, like, it conveys the idea of being deliberate, right? You are not just leaving it to chance. You are going after it. So to actually demonstrate the power of the kingdom, we all have to be intentional. The reason why many things are not manifesting in our lives is because we just live our lives like a flag on the pole. I wish I can still have the screen come on. We live our lives like flags on the pole. You know, a flag on the pole, if the wind blows this way, it goes that way. If it blows this way, it comes, it goes that way. Then if there are counteracting winds, then it's confused. Doesn't know where to blow. I mean, where to go to. So it is very important that we consider engaging the power intentionally. We have to be intentional about how we interact with the power of the kingdom. And our first scripture today is 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, from verse 1 to 12. 2 Peter chapter 1, from verse 1 to 12. I'll be reading from the Living Bible, so just follow me in your translation. From Simon Peter, a servant and missionary of Jesus Christ, to all of you who have our kind of faith, the faith I speak of is the kind that Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, gives to us. How precious it is, and how just and good He is to give this same faith to each of us. Do you want more and more of God's kindness and peace? You may want to answer that question. Okay. Then learn to know Him better and better. That's the answer to the question. So if you want to know more and more of God, then you have to learn to know Him better. Like, if you want to know more and more of God's kindness and peace, that you need to learn to know Him better and better. For as you know Him better, He will give you through His great power everything. Is that something? What is that word? Something is right? Everything. What does everything mean? Everything. Okay, we have our standard definition method here. Everything. Everything is everything. So it means nothing is left. So if there's anything you need and you are not getting it, take notes. I didn't say anything you want. If there's anything you need for life and for godliness, you have been given that thing. So if you don't have it, whose fault is it? Your fault, right? I like you. You are very sincere. I thought you'd say it is God's fault or my fault. So for us to know Him better, He will give you through His great power everything you need for living a life, living a truly good life. He even shares His own glory and His own goodness with us. So as we know him better, he even shares his glory with us. And by that same mighty power, he has given us all the other rich and wonderful blessings he promised. For instance, the promise to save us from the lust and rottenness all around us and to give us his own character. You know, there's a lot of trouble about, you know, the world. Every generation, people keep saying, the older generation, they keep saying that the current generation is bad. And it has been like that for centuries. I know you're going to still tell your kids that your generation is bad. See, the Bible says there's nothing new under the heaven. Right? The only thing is that we have social media to amplify our own. Hallelujah. So to obtain these gifts, you need more than faith. Faith is important. That's the basis. Right? You must also work hard to be good. And even that is not enough. So you have faith, you are good. That is still not enough. For then, you must learn to know God better and discover what he wants you to do. So even after having faith and knowing and being good, then you still need to find out what God wants you to do at every point in time. After doing that, next, you have to learn to put aside your own desires. You have to learn to put aside your own desires so that you will become patient and godly, gladly letting God have his way with you. You know, this is a very difficult one. Most of the times, you bring your request and you want God to stamp it. But then, life is way easier if you first of all find out from God that, God, what should I ask for? Can you imagine? You ask the examiner, you're asking the examiner what questions are coming out. And he or she tells you, you're okay. You're just good to go. Right? So, if you need to, God created you and he has a plan for you. So, if you ask him, what, at this point in my life, what should I be doing? Then any answer he gives you is authentic. It cannot be contested anywhere, right? So put aside your own desire so that you will become patient and godly, gladly letting God have his way with you. This will make possible the next step. And what is the next step? Which is for you to enjoy other people. We are meant to enjoy ourselves. Like, you have to enjoy the fellowship of the brethren. Enjoy other people and like them. And finally, you will grow to love them deeply. As you enjoy their company, then you love them deeply. The more you go on in this way, the more you will grow strong spiritually and become fruitful and useful to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you do all of these things, that is only when you can be useful to Jesus. Now, if any of this thing is lacking, you will not be able to live a full life because you need every ingredient to have a full life. Hallelujah. But anyone who fails to go after these additions to faith is blind indeed. So if you have faith and you stop there, you are still blind. You will go to heaven, right? But you won't really be everything God has designed you to be. Or at least very short-sighted and has forgotten that God delivered him from the old life of sin so that now he can live a strong, good life for the Lord. So there, brothers, work hard to prove that you really are among those who are called and chosen, and then you will never stumble or fall away. So you have to work hard to make sure all those things are added. Now, of course, in this testament, everything has been done for us. So the hard work you are doing is appropriating. You are appropriating, you are activating that which has been done. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished, right? But then, some things are not finished in your life. Why? Because you have not activated those things. So dear brothers, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen, and then you will never stumble or fall away. And God will open wide the gates of heaven for you to enter into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Peter is talking to us here. And, you know, I know most of these things I'm saying, you already know them. But you see, as humans, we keep forgetting. And that is why even Peter is saying, I plan to keep on reminding you of these things, even though you already know them, and are really getting along quite well. Verse 12. That's verse 12 I just read. Verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. He says, I will be conscious to make sure I keep reminding you, though you know them, and be established the present truth. So you know these things already, right? But then we have to keep, as far as something is still in your life, something that Jesus finished on the cross is still not finished in your life, we have to keep reminding ourselves. Hallelujah. So from that text, what do we see? First of all, we see that a blissful life is connected to our relationship with God. So if you want to enjoy all the benefits, if you want to enjoy what He has given unto you for life and godliness, what do you have to do? You have to know Him more and more. You know, very interestingly, Paul, can you all see this? Is this somehow clear? Can you see it? You can try, right? Okay, I think I'll just proceed. Okay, can you move on, please? Or maybe I should just go at my normal pace. Can you go to the highlighted point? Have you got there? Okay, please, can we get go there? Oh, I think I don't have to wait for that then. Okay, so like I said already, a blissful life is connected to our relationship with God. The next thing is that the power of the kingdom is knowledge activated, and it is also voice activated. Now, if you don't, it is what you know that you will say, right? I like what Deacon Blessing said when he came to talk about this. He said, of course, Paul told us that he did not come in the excellency of human speech and things like that. But then, speech is still required, right? But what you are saying, what will make your speech important is the knowledge that is backing that speech up. So, this power of the kingdom is activated by the knowledge you have and by you saying it, by you establishing it from time to time, by you standing your ground, even when the devil is trying to say you won't have that which God has given you. Amen. So if you have been saved, healed and delivered, when Jesus said it was finished, when he said it is finished on the cross, he's saying that your sin is finished, your disease is finished, your poverty is finished, your impurity is finished. But so if you still have any of these things in your life, like you've agreed with me already, it is your fault because you have to activate it. So if you have been healed and delivered from oppression, say, in Psalm 107 verse 2, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Right? Jesus has done it, but you are not seeing it. So keep saying it, right? Before it happens, say it. When it is happening, say it. After it has happened, say it. And that is when it becomes like testimony. So you have to keep saying it. Like today, Okay, let me just go on. Okay, today somebody told me that he was feeling like he had malaria symptoms. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting. So by saying that already, I can already feel that he has accepted it. Like he has malaria. And I'm like, no, have you actually commanded malaria to go? Yeah, he said, yes, he has prayed and he's trusting God. So I told him, get a scripture that relates to healing. Keep confessing it to yourself loudly until that healing comes. Until the healing comes, don't stop. Is that okay? Of course, you're not going to be doing that mindlessly. You're going to do that knowing that God's word does not fall to the ground. Is that okay? So declare, say it, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now Acts chapter 12 from verse 1 to 11. Acts chapter 12 from verse 1 to 11. You know, there are many scriptures we quote every day, but they are not active in our life because we just say them because we have Bible knowledge. Because we don't really engage with them consciously. We just say them. You know, we are very used to saying the grace. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But then, each time you say it like you mean it. And I also discovered something. How many of you discovered that each time pastors come to round off, you would usually say, God bless you. And I discovered that, like, more than 90% of us don't care about that prayer. You think it's useless, that it's just doing religion. I don't joke with it. Like, amen. Because every God bless you is useful for something. So, because we are used to this thing so much, we don't really care. But today, you have to be intentional. When somebody is here and this person is saying, God bless you, receive it by engaging with it. Amen. Acts chapter 12 from verse 1 to 11. Okay, I think I have to just go. Acts chapter 12 from verse 1 to 11. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Wow. And because he saw it pleased the Jews. He killed James and it pleased the Jews. What did he do? He proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him. That's a lot of soldiers. Intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. So he just put him inside the cage that, okay, after Easter, I want to pleasure the Jews the more, just like they were pleasured with the death of James. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made. Was prayer made for James? Even if it was, maybe it was a mindless kind of prayer. Or maybe there was no prayer at all. It just thought, oh, James has been delivered. Maybe they were running around to get the best lawyer to go and bail him. And that was how they lost James. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing. Maybe in the case of James, even if they prayed at all, they just thought, oh, let's just pray for 30 minutes. Pastor Jayola, lead us in prayer for Brother James. And then it was done. But after James was killed, they became very serious. So prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Because he prayed without ceasing, an angel appeared, and a miracle happened. A wonder happened. And the angel said unto him, get thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel. But thought he saw a vision. Even Paul could not believe the thing that happened. He couldn't believe it. He was imagining that, am I dreaming? Like, Peter, wake up. Are you really dreaming? Because the brethren prayed. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. Now the gate opened of its own accord. They didn't need key to have it opened. And they went out and passed on through one street. And forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, you know, all the while he thought he was really dreaming. And then he came to himself. Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. So he woke up after, like he came to his senses that, oh boy, it's like this thing is no dream. It's no joke at all. So, and I think that probably James would not have been killed if the believers took his arrest as seriously as they took that of Peter. Probably he wouldn't have been lost. When they decided to pray in the case of Peter, miracle happened. Chains fell off without anybody opening the padlock. Doors opened without anybody opening the doors because people were praying. So prayers can break chains and open doors. So we don't want to be complacent about anything. So I'm charging us, do not take anything for granted. You know, there are things we take for granted. How many of you have malaria every month? And you know, you're expecting it. You already have the drug ready. You have the drug. You already know that, oh, by 5th of every month, malaria is coming. And you have accepted it. Of course, we are brethren. We are still holy. If somebody else is not having malaria, it doesn't mean that the person is holier than you, for sure. But then, you know, malaria is not sweet now. You don't like the feeling. You don't like the fact that maybe things don't taste the right way in your mouth. Right? So don't take anything for granted. Don't leave anything to chance. Maybe in your case, for the ladies, every month you have your period, right? And then you already know that you are going to have cramps. And you have accepted it because it is the natural course of nature. But I want to tell you, it doesn't have to be like that. When I was in 200 level, of course, you know, my wife and I were classmates. So one day, you know, and I'm a very bush boy, like you already know. One day, I saw this asthma thing with her, inhaler. You know, that special inhaler for asthma. And I was like, what is this thing meant for? I had not seen it before. She was like, oh, this is for asthma. I'm like, asthma? What is asthma? So I could already imagine that it must have been something very painful. And secretly, I don't even remember the prayer points I prayed or anything. I don't know. But I just remember after like 3 or 4 months, I asked her, where's your inhaler? She was like, oh, I never needed it for the past 3 or 4 months. And that was how it stopped. Now, I can't even be sure I was very conscious about that, but I was just thinking that how can somebody be, my friend, then we're just friends, right? Like, how can my friend just be going through this kind of pain? Then there was this time, very close to when we're getting married, she came one day, and she had, I think it was around the menache time, and she was just drowsy, like, just sleeping. Anyway, she got to sleep. I'm like, what is this? So I just, like, I don't know, maybe I was not very nice in saying it. But guess what? That was the last time I remember she had that kind of trouble in her life. So you don't have to take it like it's normal. If you take it as normal, of course, fine, we are brethren, we'll fellowship together, and we'll go to heaven. But you can live a better life. You can live a better life. You can. So don't leave anything to chance. That is what I'm... Be intentional. Do not take anything for granted. Do not give room for learned helplessness. Like, things happen and you're just helpless. So you have learned to live with it, just like I said already. Do not own anything or condition that is not God's will for your life. There are many things you have owned. In fact, you will say, I have malaria. Like, you have it. It's your possession, right? You want to stop that. Do you understand? See, I'm not here to judge you. Whether you have malaria or not, you are a child of God. And you are going to heaven. But I'm only trying to say that you don't have to have malaria. If after now, you can begin to trust God for it. And it will not even happen. Keep trusting God for it. There are many things I still trust God for. And they don't happen. And I know, as far as those things are there, they are written. He has said it. They are written. So I don't want to lose out of anything God has promised. Even if it is not happening yet. Hallelujah. Once you become conscious of life, you must leave nothing to chance in your daily life. In every area of life, be it in your family, in your ministry, in your career, at every stage of life, even in choosing a course, for instance, choosing a spouse, giving birth, at midlife, you know, people talk about midlife crisis. How many of you have heard about midlife crisis? When people are around 45, 50, 60, you know, they begin to lose track of at events around them. I'm not going to have midlife crisis. Not because I'm holier than some Christians that have it, but because I understand it is not necessary. How many of you believe that when children want to teeth, they must stool? That's the natural course. That is the normal thing people see. But it doesn't have to happen to your child. At least I'm a witness. How many of you believe that when you are pregnant, you must vomit, you must crave, you must spit? If you spit, if it has happened to you, please though. You know, I've told you already that it doesn't make you less a sister or less a brother. But I'm saying it does not have to be. Do you understand? At least I'm a witness. So most of the things I'm telling you, I'm actually a witness of all of these things. I've seen the possibilities of these things. How many of you have read Supernatural Childbirth? If you are not married, you are blessed because you can begin to activate these things. And how did you get into this? We're in school and then we read this book from Oyinike Areogun. And she told us how she had 2 kids without having any swollen legs or spitting or vomiting or anything. And we're like, babe, this thing, we go do it. So when she got pregnant the first time, she felt, she had nausea and she felt like throwing up and everything. But then she remembered that scene for part 5. This is time to put it to act. And then she... So when she got pregnant the second time, I just looked at her like, oh boy, I feel like she's making it pregnant every day. Like, she was more beautiful. She was radiating and everything. So be intentional. The normal thing is when at stages, things happen. But it doesn't have to be like that for you. It doesn't have to be. If it has been like that for you, don't forget we are still brethren. But you know now, it is good to just not have some unnecessary problems. You know, one prayer I'm praying for my children, especially the girl, that God, five brothers will not come and toast him. The one, will just come. What's the point? What do you earn by having five brothers proposing to you? It's not necessary. You're going to marry one after all. So why not that one just come once and you forget it? Me, I had two. And it's not necessary. The first one was not necessary if I was white. Now, if you have had series of that, we are still brethren. I am not holier than you, right? The person that got it once is not holier than you. I'll keep saying that so that you won't think I'm judging you or anything. No, that's not the intention. But I'm just trying to open your eyes to it. It's just like in academics too. You know, what is the maximum marks obtainable for most of your courses? 100. And because of that, I have this mindset that if I get 99 over 100, I'll go and meet my teacher. What's going to happen to the one mark? That is foolishness to many people. Like, oh, okay, practical example. You know, I did a diploma program in marine engineering before I came to Futa. So our first exam, the result was released, went home and we came back. Our result was released. You know, of course, sometimes people will come and tell you your result before you even get there because they are journalists. I had 92. So I went to meet the lecturer, like, sir, I heard I had 92. I want to know how I missed the 8 marks. And there were people there begging to get 40 and go. They were looking at me like, this guy is foolish. Oh, what is wrong with you? Elon Shell, proud. No. But do you know, the lecturer understood. And he actually brought out my script. He was like, oh, this equation, you didn't balance it well. You missed 5 marks. This one, you didn't do this, so you missed 3 marks. Now, I understand. I'm satisfied that it was my fault. So if you can get 100, why get 99? That is exactly what I'm doing today. Do you understand? You may not have been having these experiences, or you may have been having it in a measure, but we are saying that you can live a better life because of the power of the kingdom. And to do that, you have to engage God more intentionally. That is what I'm just trying to say today. Today, don't leave anything to chance. All right? Do not leave anything to chance. So, you want to pray and speak into your future? Plan based on after you have prayed and you keep speaking, right, into the future, then there will be promptings God will give you. There are things the Holy Spirit will tell you that you shouldn't do. For instance, that first time when my wife was feeling like she was going to throw up, she discovered that was happening each time she drank plenty of water. So she discovered, okay, to avoid this, maybe she had to add some kind of flavor to the water or something. So there are promptings that will come to make sure that thing happens. Hallelujah. Say only what you mean. I mean what you say. And that's why I pity people. If you are, you know, how many of you know I joke a lot? But I'm not very good at, if I carry my mic, I want to make you laugh. It's very difficult. But if I'm just talking normally, I just people laughing. I'm like, what's happening? Why are you laughing? Like some people say, why are you laughing? All right. So don't say careless words. Don't say careless words. I remember, you know, It can only take a crazy person like my wife to marry me, right? Because then I'll tell her that, oh, I'm going to take you around the world. I'll bring out maps, see Madrid, see this one, see that one. We are going everywhere. We have not gone to many places, but we have started going. So even if it looks like you are just saying rubbish, keep saying it. Make sure you don't say anything you don't want to see, right? Acts chapter 7, verse 37. Acts chapter 7, verse 37. New Living Translation, I read, Moses himself told the people of Israel, God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. No, I'm reading just 37. Thank you. Can we go back and read KJV? Moses himself told the people, this is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear. See, all the monthly scripture we are told to read, don't ever joke with them. Can you imagine? I've read the Bible, at least I can boast of reading the Bible at least 10 times in my lifetime. Well, it was when we were reading the book of Acts that I discovered this thing. Like, so even Moses had even said it in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 and 18, that God was going to send somebody. God was going to send Jesus, but with all their scholarship, all their theological knowledge and everything, they couldn't even see that Jesus was the person God was going to send. And they believed in Moses so much that if Moses told them to go and die, they would enter the well and die. But they couldn't even see that God already told Moses that he was going to send somebody. That is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. But they did not see this, so they kept hearing Moses till today. So Moses prophesied the coming of the Messiah, but the Jews who believed so much in the same Moses couldn't see it. As we see, you know, this prophecy is in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 and 18. So what does that teach us? The power of the kingdom cannot be potent in us if you don't see what God is saying. You have the Bible. Now you can be saying it. You can be reciting it. You can even memorize it. But it has to go beyond that. You have to meditate and activate it. Bring it to life. You know, have you seen sometimes you're on the internet and you press a button and the button is not active. It's not taking you anywhere. But then when it's activated, you click it and it moves. So you have been seeing the buttons, but you are not clicking them. Click. The power of the kingdom cannot be potent in us if we don't see what God is saying, both in the scripture and through the Holy Spirit in our daily life. Every day the Holy Spirit is coming to you, telling you things in your business, is telling you do this, do that. I told you of somebody who just became, he got a job, he resigned the job because he just started with Microsoft Excel and he became the best at it in the whole of Africa. A Futa guy, Michael Olafusi, you can Google it. He was 1 year ahead of me, just like I told you on Sunday. So, there are things, there's this hymn we sing that we lose a lot of, oh what, something we often forfeit. Oh what peace we often forfeit because we do not carry, because we do not activate these things. We know them, we say them, we read them, but we don't sit with them intentionally. We don't activate them. Or sometimes when you try to engage, if you try it once and twice, you have headache, you pray, God, take this headache away, and it's not going. You just resign. Keep saying it until it happens. Because this is real. It is real. The word of God, nothing is more real, or is it realer? Nothing is realer than the word of God. Nothing is more real than that word. Luke chapter 16 from verse 19 to 21. Luke 16, 19 to 21. Jesus said, there was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed in purple and fine linen and who lived each day in luxury. At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus who was covered with sores. As Lazarus lay there longing for, take note of this. Can we read this together? No, KJV is fine. KJV is fine, please. KJV, thank you. Yes. And what? Desiring. Who was desiring? Wow. Brother Lazarus was desiring to do what? To be fed with what? The crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Now, most of our Christian experiences are like crumb Christian experiences. You are a Christian, but you are living at the crumb level. Because that is what you desire. Moreover, the dogs came and licked the sores. So the question is, what are you desiring? What exactly? When Lazarus died, where did he go to? Where did he go to? And define, but where did he go to? So it's not whether you have the best things of life or you have the worst things of life that decides whether you go to heaven or not. It is, once you are a believer, if you believe in Jesus, you are going to heaven. Right? But what are you desiring? So watch what you are desiring. The Amplified says, now there was a certain rich man who was habitually dressed in expensive purple and fine linen and celebrated and lived joyously in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores. That poor man, he eagerly desired to be satisfied with what fell from the rich man's table. Now, and that is exactly our experience today. Today, as Christians, we have to wait for the for atheists to do technologies that we use when we have been endowed with even something. In fact, that is even an indictment for me too, right? Like, we have the Holy Spirit that is better than whatever else, whatever is those people are operating by. But then we have to wait for them to design things that we use, whereas we are supposed to be 10 times better than them, at least from Daniel's template. 10 times better. So some desires can deprive us of living full lives. Some desires can deprive us of living full lives. Lazarus desired crumbs. When we have limiting desires, we may end up in heaven, but we will not live fruitful lives. You know, I've been saying that you go to heaven, though. So the person that is having the better experience is not holier than you. Like I keep saying, we all go to heaven, right? But it's not necessary to go through some pain down here. It's not, except the pains that God has ordained for himself. Most often, we are not conscious of these thought patterns. As such, we need to always audit our thoughts, audit our actions intentionally. Check, what are you thinking? You know, yesterday I was cooking. Let me be proud to say that. Yesterday I was cooking and I was listening to radio. You know, most times when you are listening to radio, when they play you don't make me fall in love, you listen to it and you don't change the channel, right? You listen to the other one, you don't change it. But I discovered that most times when a preacher comes on, I switch off. I don't know, like I just, so I caught myself like, what's wrong with you? So if you could listen to Kukere, is it now preacher? Of course they can preach heresy, but listen first now. So I had to judge myself like, guy, let your head be correct. So I calmed down and listened to the message. And it was not bad. Abba, some people preach heresy, but listen first before you move it. If you can listen to the band and all the Naira and Kobo, these people, they know these things. Hallelujah. The power of the kingdom. Okay, so I think that point is very important. Most often we are not conscious of the thought patterns. So there are even things that are happening in your life because you have not been paying attention to them. So the mediocre thought patterns we have sometimes, you don't even know that the thoughts are there. Like, for instance, at some point in the Christian movement in Nigeria, it was like Christianity is equal to poverty. So as poor as your poverty level tells us how holy you are. That's wrong. Of course, there are also some people at the other extreme, like the Pharisees, who see material prosperity as a sign that God was with them. That was the Old Testament standard. But that is, whether you are poor or you are rich, it doesn't change anything. Right? Like I told you, we are all going to heaven, as whether you are poor or rich. But if you can be rich, why not be? Why not be? Hallelujah. So let's be conscious. Audit our thoughts. Audit our thoughts intentionally. Check yourself from time to time. Check yourself. Don't give yourself the James experience. The believers just allowed him to go. They wasted him with their negligence. But in the case of Peter, the story changed. Now, I've been giving some examples of this. That the power of the kingdom can manifest in our bodies. It can manifest in our bodies. So you don't have to have the seasonal whatever you have. You don't have to. You don't have to have the monthly troubles you have that you have even prepared for already. So the power of the kingdom can manifest in our bodies. Joshua chapter 14. Very challenging guy. Joshua chapter 14 from verse 6. Joshua 14, 6. KJV. Joshua 14, 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea, 40 years old. How old was he? 40 years. Take note. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in my heart. 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So if you find out anything about him later, that is fantastic. This, we have seen his secret already. What did he do? Verse 8 again. But I wholly follow the Lord. That is what we saw in 2 Peter chapter 1. That if you want to get more and more of the things that have been given to you for life and godliness, know more and more of God. But I wholly follow the Lord my God. 9. And Moses swear on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse 11. As yet, now pay attention. He was 40, right? As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Did we skip verse 10? I think we skipped verse 10. Abba, now why? This is where the Atarodo is now. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. God made him a promise, and he's just here, still trying to activate it after 45 years. But at least he was still there. So that's why I keep saying that. Even many things I've talked about, if you have not been experiencing it, don't give up. Keep pressing. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. So it was 40. After 45 years, here he is. Even since the Lord spake this word unto me, unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. So at 85, look at his testimony. As yet, at 85, I said, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. And my strength was then, as my strength was then. Even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Can you say what you are doing at 40? Can you be able to be, can you be proud to do the same thing at 85? That was Caleb's experience. You know, we talk about immortality. Immortality is even bigger than these things you are saying. So let's start from here. Hallelujah. Let's start from these small ones. But as small as they look, we are not even engaging with them intentionally. We are not actively engaged with them. So we see the example of Caleb. How the power of God can manifest in our lives, can manifest even in our bodies. In Acts chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, I think I won't read that. They brought the sick so that probably, imagine, shadow, and then people are healed. Shadow. Paul's handkerchief healed the sick. Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. Like, people just take, maybe somebody just come, please don't come after service and call him a handkerchief. They just come, see, sir, please, can we have your handkerchief? And they'll take it to somebody in bad case, Igobi, orthopedic hospital, and bones will straighten out. Cancer case, go. So, this power can manifest even in our bodies. You remember Paul in Acts chapter 28, how a snake, now within few minutes, people changed their mind. At first, he got on the island, a snake got attached to him, and they were like, definitely, this guy is a murderer. And after some time, he shook the snake off, and they were expecting, say, a hand goes well. Like, it's, but after some time, nothing happened. He just moved on normally. Like, Adediwura, Abejoye. You know, the same ring that will kill those wicked people immediately. He got handshake and nothing. I mean, she got a handshake. Small girl, like a teenager. Because the power of God can manifest in our bodies. You know, the Bible says there's no enchantment, no charm against you. How many of you, if you open your door tomorrow and you see calabash, what will you do? You'll just stop, Pastor. Instead, you just kick the thing come out and continue. If they put money, take the money, go and spend it. Yes, nothing will do you. Hallelujah. John the Beloved, historically, John the Beloved, we heard a lot of things that happened to him. Of course, it is not in the Bible, though. It is not in the Bible. So do your research before you talk. Like, and say it that it is historical. Don't go and say the Bible says that cleanliness is next to godliness. Because I don't think I've seen it in the Bible. Except you want to infer. Alright? So, but historically, he went through many things. Like, he was put in boiling oil. How many, like, you just put you are cooking and oil just starts to yellow. you know how it feels. It can swell up. And somebody was put in a boiling oil, in boiling oil like that, and he survived it. After they had done everything and they were tired, he was banished on an island on his own. They thought they were undoing him, but they were pushing him into destiny. That was where he saw revelation again. So whatever rubbish the devil has arranged for you, whatever wahala Nigeria has packaged for you, use it as sand to build. And that is what the power of the kingdom can do. If you see trouble, embrace it with both ends. If you don't have power over it, new. If you don't have power over it. But if you can escape some wahala, please escape. But if you don't have a choice, now we are in Nigeria. There's Boko Haram. There are kidnappers. What can we do? We are here now. Okay, a few of us, even if all of us try to relocate, not all of us will relocate. You know, during the lockdown, I was having this interaction with my friends. We were in fellowship together. We had this forum. We were always meeting on Zoom because everybody had free time. And there was this particular very close friend of mine that was always saying, guys, if you now get opportunity, more now relocate. I'm like, come to look at it. Relocation is not the answer to Nigeria's problem. Because no matter how hard we try, only a few Nigerians can relocate. How many of us can afford to relocate in the first place? Isaac sold during a famine. How many fold did he reap? 100-fold. So don't let their realities be your reality. Don't. Do not. In case you didn't get don't. So, like I've been saying, we can live free of sicknesses, diseases, menstrual pain, pregnancy troubles. We can age gracefully. Caleb has taught us. There are people as they are getting... There was this day, of course, if I talk this one now, you go send our money. You can get the money too. Why can't you? There was this day I saw Pastor Paula De Farasi's mother. Like, you go one old. Like very graceful. Like, she's old. Like, I think she was... I saw when she was like maybe 80 or something. Very graceful. You can be that graceful. You can still be strong. It's looking like elusive, right? If it is Owo, you can get the Owo too. Hallelujah. Have 11 minutes. So, some scriptures I've intentionally engaged over the years, you know, I think I remember the one scripture that stands out is Deuteronomy 28 verse 13. Can we go there? Deuteronomy 28 verse 13. You know, we like, when you take the book of Deuteronomy from verse 1 to, I think 1 to 15. After 15, you just stop there. But the thing is serious. 15 verses. And the other ones, I think the thing is up to 66 or so. And only 15 blessings. The rest, all kinds of wahala. Child. But Deuteronomy 28 verse 13. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou, condition. And just like I always say, I like to go to the root of the matter. So instead of looking for to be the head and not the tail, and wanting to be above and not beneath, there's a condition. Fulfill the condition, and the rest will be easy. If thou hearken unto the commandment of the Lord thy God, which I commanded this day to observe, to do them. So we see the pattern in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we read. Is it 2 Peter chapter 1, I think? 2 Peter chapter 1 in... Joshua, when we're talking about Caleb, and now here, there's that thing of being with God and knowing what he has to say. Going according to his command. From the Berean Study Bible, it says, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will only move upward and never downward. If you hear and carefully follow the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am giving you today. Another scripture I like so much is Psalm 121 verse 6. Psalm 121 verse 6. You know that scripture, like in fact, at some point it was the password to my, it's the password of to many of my accounts. Let your imagination run wild. Hallelujah. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Now this doesn't make sense to you, but go and serve in Katsina like me. I went to Katsina and boy, in fact, one funny guy that came from Akwa Ibom, he said, oh boy, then carry me come on south, come north. Because Katsina is really not not. Like, the sun was so harsh. I remember my first day in camp, I had to buy sunshade, dark sunshade. I had nose mask when there was no Ebola or COVID-19. Nose mask, you go buy, you don't even know when you buy it. Safe. Then I had cap on. With everything, the sand was still entering my eyes. One day, in the hostel, I was sleeping, like during break, and there was this strong breeze. It came like fire was burning and breeze carried it. I just woke up. I saw everybody deeply asleep. Some of them were from Adamawa. So I even heard Adamawa's son was hotter than Katsina. So me, Badagry boy, waiting on the ocean boy. Try. But the sun smites people. Now again, in Japan, during summer, for your information, their heat can be hotter than our heat here. So people die of heat stroke. People die of heat stroke during summer. Because the temperature goes as high as 41 degrees. Now, they are not used to that because for the most part, they have cold. I remember there was this time in 2018, I think in July, I went to Sydney, Australia, and it was winter there. So I got back to Japan, and then I cycled from home. It was summer in Japan. I cycled from home like 30 minutes. By the time I dropped at school, I saw life going out of me. The sun was so intense. I think I must have been so dehydrated. But thank God, every corner in Japan, they are dispensing machines. So there's this particular drink. If I see it in 50 years, I'll remember. So each time I see the drink, I'll just show my wife, now that drink saved me that day. Now God, Abby. Well, so I just went to the machine, dispensed. Then life started coming back. So people die of heat stroke. So this is, the sun shall not smite thee by day. I also think the moon, even moon, gets the own. In the literal sense. Of course, this can also have some other connotations. You know, but I just want to look at the direct thing today. Hallelujah. Another scripture, Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You know, the Bible says that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So the justice, the justness that I have, or the righteousness that I claim, is not because I know how to do anything better than anybody. It's just because I believe in Jesus and it's my righteousness. So because of that, my path shines brighter and brighter. And you see, I bring it down to the very smallest things. So that simply means that if I lived in a house last year, if I'm moving to another house, it should be better. Literally. If I'm leaving that one, when I resumed in Japan, we stayed in a hostel, very old. It was built in 1988, but it was maintained a bit. So from there, you know, I've been praying this, I got up, the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter. So if I'm moving from this place, I'm moving to a better place. So then from there, we moved to a prefectural housing. The cheapest you can get, the biggest space you can get. As I was leaving, I was coming to Nigeria. I was like, how is this going to apply? But I can say that where I am now is better than where I lived last in Japan, in a measure. Hallelujah. You know, these things are not just there for fun. They are real. If your paths are not shining brighter and brighter, come back here. It's not God's fault. It's your fault. You know, one of the things I always say is, no matter how good things are, they can be better. Do you understand? Okay? And I always like to use academic examples. You know, some people, all they want to get is 5 dots. I'm like, 5 dots? Getting 5 dots is too cheap. All you need is 70A. Just get 70A, 70A, you have 5 dots. But what is the maximum mark obtainable? And most times, if you're looking for 70A, you get 69, 68, 67. So, the easy way for me, I keep saying, I'm not looking for first class. I'm not even looking for to be the best in this class. What I want is, I want to get 100 over 100 in all my courses. Le bâton. So go to the root. These things are real. Your path should be shining brighter and brighter. The kind of husband you have today, it should be a better one the next second, because your path should be shining brighter and brighter. Whatever it is, you should get better and better. Hallelujah. You know, people talk about old age, that, I just, when I got to Japan, I just saw so many things. I'm like, ah, now, wow. So here, when somebody is 50 or 60, you're already calling the person Baba or Mama. But then you see, it's a retiree, 70-year-old. She's still doing sissy. Some say, if you're not careful, you can call them, say, Omoge, come. Of course, they have their own culture and everything. But we also have we even have a culture that is superior to theirs as Christians. The Christ, just like I said, immortality is one of the promises. So it's far, far bigger than all these small, small things I'm even still saying. Hallelujah. So don't take it for granted like, oh, no. It's no problem now. No, just, it's my malaria. It's my regular thing. It has to come. No, don't. I think I have to be faster now. So, the contemporary English version says, the lifestyle of good people is like sunlight at dawn that keeps getting brighter until broad daylight. And then, Isaiah 54 verse 17, this is very... Now, this one came alive to me the day... you remember when there was wahala in Futa? Like, people could not even pray in the sports complex. You'd be arrested for praying in open places. So then, Reverend Femi Ogundare, we had a series of prayer meetings and he would come. So if you see all the story about Futa today, that Futa student went to America and they did something, prayers had gone. So I remember him prophesying that Futa will be known for excellence, Futa will be known for this and that and that. Some people just think it is because they are very intelligent. That's why all these things are happening. Words have gone. So it was one of those, we read the scripture that I've always read. And it was like, no weapon. What is no weapon? It means bomb is excluded, right? It means gun is excluded, or cutlass. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. No weapon. But whether it is the physical ones you see, or the ones they send from your village, no weapon. Whether it is enchantment or whatever, no weapon fashioned against you prospers. So if it's looking like a weapon is working against you, enforce it. God has said it. He said it is your inheritance. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Oh, I have to run. Luke 10:19. Listen carefully. I have given you authority that you now possess to tread on serpents and scorpions, and the ability to exercise authority over all the power of the enemy. And nothing will in any way harm you. Nothing will in any way harm you. Hallelujah. Final word. Can you say this after me? I will not just drift through life. I will not resign to faith. Faith is one of the words in the English dictionary I really hate. Faith. Like, I don't know my faith. What is your faith? I will not resign to faith. I will actively engage God's power for a glorious and exemplary life. I will leave nothing to chance. Do you mean that? Hallelujah. Thank you, pastors, for the opportunity.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.